I know we often talk about big pyramid, but can we talk about big wireless for a second? If after years of overpaying for wireless, you're finally fed up from those wildly high wireless bills, bogus fees, and quote-unquote free perks that actually cost more in the long run, why not switch to Mint Mobile and keep your money where you can see it? Mint Mobile is here to rescue you from big wireless with premium wireless plans starting at $15 a month. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And you can even use your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan and bring your phone number, along with all of your contacts. It's a snap to switch. So ditch overpriced wireless and get 3 months of premium wireless service from Mint Mobile for $15 a month. If you like your money, Mint Mobile is for you. Shop plans at mintmobile.com/aftermlm. That's mintmobile.com/aftermlm. Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month 5 gigabyte plan required, equivalent to $15 a month. New customer offer for first 3 months only, then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See Mint Mobile for details. It's February, which means Valentine's Day and my birthday are right around the corner. It might be the shortest month, but it's the best month. And if you're anything like me, you want the look and feel of luxury without the price tag. And y'all know, Quince is my one-stop shop for luxury essentials at affordable prices. Be still, my little Pisces heart. Quince offers a range of high-quality items at prices that are totally within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters from $50, a favorite of me and Mr. F for sure, washable silk tops and dresses, organic cotton sweaters, and 14-karat gold jewelry. And then my newest obsession, their stylish packing cubes that make prepping for a weekend getaway a breeze. And the best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with safe, ethical, and responsible factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us, meaning that you can look and feel like $1 million without breaking the bank, something that definitely doesn't happen in MLM. Give yourself the luxury that you deserve with Quince. Go to quince.com/MLM for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/MLM to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/MLM. Hey, I'm Roberta Blevins, and this is Life After MLM, a podcast where we work to end the stigma of failure in an industry systemically designed for you to fail. Join us as we dive into the real-life stories of survivors, experts, and advocates, as we debunk the common myths and fallacies of cults, frauds, scams, and multi-level marketing. Happy New Year, Hunbods and Hunbros. I am so ready to jump into season 5, but we can't get into season 5 without recapping season 4 first. We had an incredible year here over at Life After MLM, mostly in part to you guys. Thank you so much. But I wanted to share some stats before we get into some of the best episodes of the year, some of your favorite episodes of the year, my favorite episodes of the year, and even Mr. F's favorite episode of the year. Last week, I posted some stories on Instagram, some polls, and some questions, and thank you guys so much for all of the responses. It really was helpful. I thought this episode was going to be super easy, so I was like, yeah, they're going to tell me their favorite episodes. It's going to be so great. I know my favorite episodes. And then, no, it just was like so much audio and me going, I don't even know where to start. We've got hours and hours and hours of audio, and I need to find the best clips. You know, I did my best. I learned that this year, I'm just going to be better about it. And I'm just going to isolate clips as they happen instead of putting it all off for future Roberta to do in literally the last week of the month when she's trying to enjoy other things. So that's on me. And going forward, I will make things easier for me. Work smarter, not harder, right? So one of the questions that I asked on Instagram was, what is your favorite story topic? And overwhelmingly, you guys responded with MLMs, which makes sense. This is an anti-MLM podcast, and the majority of our stories are MLM stories. 66% of you said that your favorite topic on the show is hearing MLM stories. 16% said it's cults. 15% said scams and frauds. And only 3 of you said religion, which I'm not surprised about. Religion gets a little heavy, gets a little personal. And honestly, the only reason we dip into religion is to answer some of those questions for, like, why does this topic keep coming up? What's the pattern here? So we dip into religion to go, oh, there it is. There's the upbringing. There's that toxic patriarchal control. Okay, we found it. So, I mean, religion's not really my favorite topic either. So I agree with you guys there. This is pretty good. I think cults and MLMs are my favorite things to talk about. So it makes sense. And we're all right on the same page. I also asked what your favorite types of episodes are, because I really feel here we run the gamut. Sometimes things are really heavy and sometimes things are really silly. And so I was curious what you said. 11% of you said that you really enjoy the heavy and the deep conversations, which I do. I gotta take breaks though. They get really, really heavy. 13% of you like the lighthearted and the funny episodes, which is great because I love editing those. And if you are a member of the Patreon, you get a lot more bonus stuff because we tangent and make a lot of jokes, and all of those stay on the Patreon episode. 23% of you said you like the educational stuff, which is so great. And it's so much more than I expected, because I feel like sometimes people are like, oh no, not another episode about learning stuff. But again, like with the religion, I think it adds a lot of nuance and backstory to things. And it makes us really understand people's headspaces when they get involved with cults and frauds and scams and things like that. So I was so surprised that 23% of you like the educational stuff. But again, not surprising, 53% love the shocking true stories. And thankfully, every story on this podcast is true. They're just not all shocking. But you guys really, really enjoy the shocking true stories and the MLM episodes. And don't worry, so many of those are coming this year. I'm so excited because we're going to be focusing on a lot of MLM stuff. And I cannot wait to have conversations with you guys and help you tell your stories when you're ready. I also asked you guys what MLM most needs some stories told about them in 2025, and you guys brought it. So let me read your responses, because, wow. Plexus, Oliveda, Young Living, Beachbody, Another Beachbody, Optavia, Make Wellness, Melaleuca, Primerica, Arbonne, Beauty Counter, Perfectly Posh, Always Amway, Norwex, Genesis Pure, which I've never heard of, The Happy Juice from Amare, Primerica, Monet, and if they go down, Norwex, Zaya, Body, Beachbody, Saint Updates, Bomb Party, Herbalife, Pure Romance, Optavia, The Peptides one, I'm going to have to look into that one, New Skin, Juice Plus, Another Monet, Herbalife, Unique, Beauty Counter, Lime Life, Another Unique, More Amway, Arbonne, Mary Kay, Monet, Beauty Society, Plexus and their pink drink, New Skin, Herbalife, Ariel, and, which I thought was great, and I love this, so this is a call to action, I would love to hear more from any company, but from people who got super high up. So if you were high up in a company and you're ready to spill the tea, email me. Let's do it. And a couple of stats real quick before we jump into the clip show. I just want to say thank you to anybody who has subscribed and who downloads and listens regularly. This year, we had almost 1.3 million downloads with 1,289,248. That's incredible. Thank you, guys. I'm calling that a win. Our highest traffic month in 2024 was May for some reason. And the top 5 countries that tune in and listen are the US, Canada, the UK, Australia, and surprisingly, Germany. So, Dankeschön, and thank you. And the top 5 episodes, based on stats alone, Shannon Vavich, Kimberly, Christy Stogner, Sandy Rusk, and Hannah Alonzo. So let's get into some of our favorite clips of the whole year. We're going to start first with 2024's least favorite topic, religion, which kind of goes hand in hand with cults, and also my favorite episode of the year, which was the episode with Sarah Rathman, but maybe not exactly why you think. This is a fun little story, and I'm just going to tell it really quick because I'm Twitter-pated, and why not? This past summer, I got a message from someone who is a listener of the show who had messaged me many times before about all kinds of stuff, and they sent me a Zillow listing for a cult compound. And I was like, oh my God, I have an episode about this. And it started this really incredible conversation that has not stopped since. And that was Mr. F that sent me that. So for me, Sarah's episode literally changed my life. I got to get to know Mr. F, who is now my boyfriend and is such an incredible person. And I know this is not like a dating and relationship show, so I'll keep it brief. But, you know, that was my favorite episode for a number of reasons. I thought it was very fun, but it also brought me Mr. F. So, yeah, thanks, Sarah. And there's my little lollipop moment that a lot of you probably don't even know. So here are some of our favorite clips from season 4 about religion.
Well, and let me go back to the being engaged in high school.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
So in eighth grade, for our eighth grade graduation.
Engaged.
Engaged. I had a ring. Okay. That counts. Doesn't matter how old you are. If you got that ring, you're engaged. Don't even need a ring.
I'm kidding. You've got the husband to prove me wrong. Like,
I do. Let me get a picture. Let me get some receipts real quick. So in eighth grade, I have graduation at school, obviously. So he came to that. And that's when everyone was like, oh, he is real. And he is super cute. So they're just like, oh my gosh, like, how did you get him? And I'm like, I know, but he's not allowed to wear shorts. So he's weird too.
Won't be kissing him until we're married.
You're like 13 years old at this point. And all your 13-year-old friends like, wow, what a hug. Yes. How'd you snag him?
And I'm like, you know, the lake is very small. So we, you know, it's like a puddle kind of, and you just jump in it and grab the first one that hops out. So
I really feel like the answer to how you snagged him is, well, I called dibs first.
I did. Yeah. It's pretty much it.
That's an epic story to tell your grandkids, you know.
I've only been in that building the one time to pick up the document she signed for me and to attend church there. Have never had any problem with anyone there. These people have been around me for over 7 years at this point. Before that, I had actually sold 5 different people houses from iTown. One of those was one of their pastors. No problems with any of that. And I'd certainly never been told I wasn't welcome there at any point. I walk in and just say, hey, is the lady behind the front desk, and didn't know who she was at the time. And I was just like, oh, hi, you know, by chance, is my daughter here? And she goes, no, she's not here. And I cannot share any information with you about her. I'm like, what?
That's strange.
I'm her mom, and I'm just in the area, just wanted to say hello to her. And she's like, just a minute. She picks up a car key, goes behind a locked door, comes back out a couple of minutes later. And in the meantime, I'm getting all kinds of weird vibes, right? She comes out, she stands behind the counter, folds her arms like this and says, nope, I can't share any information with you about her. And I'm like, what is going on? Out walks one of the pastors. Now, this is one of the pastors that I had been around for 7 years. We've never had any conflict. There's never been anything. And he's like, hey, how's it going, Sandy? I go, well, I'm a little confused. And I told him what just happened. And I said, can you talk to me? And he goes, well, I've got a couple minutes. I've got some people coming in, but I've got about 2 minutes I can give you. And I'm like, okay, I'll take that. So he gets the card key. We go behind the locked door. We go into a little conference room. And I'm like, what's going on? And he just looks at me and he goes, well, you know, I can't share any information with you about her either. And I'm like, I'm not asking for information about her. I'm just wanting to say hello to her. And he's like, well, I know that you and your daughter have had problems in the past, and I can't tell you anything about her. And I'm like, problems? What problems are you talking about? And he goes, that's all I can say. Now, keep in mind, this is a pastor. Don't you think the first thing that a pastor would do in that situation is pray? I don't know what's going on with you, but let's just pray about it. Did not do that at all. And wouldn't you think, since I had known this pastor all this time, if there was a problem between me and my daughter, that he would be the person that I could talk to about it? I mean, isn't that the role of a pastor to help in situations? It was not a situation that I even realized there was any kind of a problem. I said, I really don't understand what's going on here. You're a dad, Eric. What would you think if someone was telling you something like this about one of your children? And he goes, that's all I can say. I can't help you. Oops, my appointment's coming in. I gotta go. And I walk out into the lobby and I'm just like, what just happened?
And we go, this is the first time I've been able to actually like be in the bomb shelter. And so we go and we find our room, and it's a room with four bunk beds and there's three of us. And so I remember my brother's older at this point. So it's March of 90. I would have been 7. He would have been like 9 or 10. He goes and he throws his stuff up onto this other bunk. And my mom said, oh, no. I didn't have enough money to buy three beds. I only bought these two beds. Get up top, Josh, and Sarah and I will just share the bed below. And so we're like, oh, okay, whatever. And this plays a point, and this is why I'm bringing this up. So then I'm like, okay, fine. And so I go and I find my friends, you know, I had met. And we were like, oh, God, we hope we're in, like, this is normal to us. It was like the first day of school. Oh, my God, I hope we're in the same classroom. Which classroom are you in? Oh, I think I'm in Unit C. Oh, man, I'm in Unit D, you know, blah, blah, blah. Oh, that's fine. We'll see each other at lunch. We're walking around, finding the bathroom, finding the kitchen, just kind of finding everything around. Then over the loudspeaker, they get the alert, basically like, it's time. All grownups come to the temple church kind of thing. It's time to decree. And so I'll never forget, you know, my mom took us back to our room and we kind of kept waiting for the other people to show up that had the other bunk bed. And they honestly never did. But I just remember getting into the bottom bunk, my mom having to leave. I remember curling into the cement wall and just thinking, I really hope she comes back. Being really worried that she wasn't going to come back. Because, I mean, it's a doomsday called. Like, the idea of death and dying was constant at all times. And so at some point, I don't know what time it was because I was underground. I just remember feeling her body climb into the bed with me. And I remember thinking, oh, thank God. Okay. Thinking I'll get the report kind of as to what happened when I wake up. So we all wake up the next day and I'm like, you know, kind of like, did the bombs fall? Like, what happened? And she's like, no, we did it. You know, I think of the Scientology when they got their like IRS thing reinstated and the banners fall and it's like, we won the war. It was basically like that, but like on a much smaller scale because we were all in bomb shelters. Like, no, we did it. We prayed the bombs away, basically. We decreed the bombs away. We did it. We saved Earth. Congratulations.
Oh my God. The power of prayer. Here it is.
Yep. Here it is.
I mean, a lot of those religious episodes could kind of also go into the cult section, but you know, potato, potato. 15% of you love our episodes about scams and frauds. And I'm a big fan of that too. You know, like I've got beef with Billy McFarland, which I believe, I don't even think Firefest is happening. Somebody reached out to me and they were like, apparently Billy's refunding everybody who bought tickets. I mean, come on, big air quotes around bought tickets, right? But apparently the website that was originally selling them is like no longer selling them. And is like redirecting people. We'll see. It's supposed to happen in April. I don't think it's going to happen. I think I really called that from the beginning, but we'll see, right? Nothing big has happened. Even this ticket thing was kind of hush hush, but it doesn't matter because we are here for scams and frauds as well as MLMs. And these clips were some of your favorite this past year. I don't know if you know this or not, but our laundry room is in our basement. It's down a tight flight of stairs that freaks me out even when I'm not taking down heavy loads of dirty clothes with me. Switching out our heavy, big box store sized plastic tubs and bottles for our EarthBreeze eco-friendly plastic-free envelopes has eliminated not only extra weight heading down those stairs, but also cuts down on our plastic waste. We are a house that recycles, and you'd think that those bottles would be easily recyclable, but 500 million of them end up in landfills and oceans every single year. That alone is an incredible incentive to switch to EarthBreeze laundry sheets. It's an easy way to get amazingly clean clothes without all that plastic waste, delivered right to your door. Get 40% off EarthBreeze when you sign up for auto shipments at earthbreeze.com/MLM. That's earthbreeze.com/MLM. If you have young kids like me, a new year is another chance to do all of the amazing things that you didn't get to do the year before. That epic family trip, an incredible themed party, checking off a bucket list item, or dare I say it, another year closer to getting a phone. With the power of phones today, when it was time to get Abby one, I was pretty nervous about it. I have to be chronically online for my job, and I've seen some of the worst when it comes to content that comes across kids' feeds. Luckily, with Gab, there's a less nerve-wracking way. No social media apps, no internet browser, and GPS tracking. Gab devices were built specifically to keep kids and teens safely connected. They are the leader in safe phones and watches for kids, teens, and tweens, and it's easy to see why. As a parent, the Gab Companion app is a lifesaver. With parental controls, message monitoring, safe zones, and usage logs, you can manage their devices and monitor their location without ever having to bother them. And on Abby's watch, focus mode comes in handy when she's prepping and studying for not only school, but all of her extracurriculars too. Right now, Gab is offering $25 off any device with no contract required. Just go to gab.com/MLM to get started. That's Gab, GABB.com/MLM. Gab.com/MLM. Terms and conditions apply.
So when you watched season one or watched a little bit before the show started, did you have any feeling of like, uh-oh, what did I sign up for? Or did you feel confident?
I actually, like I said, I was kind of like, I say sleepwalking through the application process because I never thought it would be real. I never thought they would want somebody who was like me. I watched it twice. The first time I watched it, I was like, this seems different. I had only watched one season of The Bachelor socially with people. And I'm like, this seems more legit. This seems real. We had our couples, Lauren and Cameron, Amber and Matt Barnett. And I, you know, for the drama that was there with some of it, I was like, I think those people, like, you can kind of tell there's like real feelings there. And so it kind of made me buy in a little. There was like an authenticity there with those two couples specifically that I felt was like, oh, like maybe this is legit. Maybe this is different. And that's what they tell you the whole time. We're not trying to be The Bachelor. We're trying to help people find love. We're psychology based. We're not drama based. Like all of this stuff you get sold on the way in. And so I believed it. Now, if it were now, I would go back and watch five seasons and see the spiraling shit show that it's continuing to evolve to be, I probably would be like, no freaking way.
Yeah, now it's just like a guilty hot mess.
Oh my gosh. Last season seems like it was a nightmare. Like behind the scenes, on the camera, there were like less episodes because they didn't have as much content. It was very forced. You could tell people were not there for... And what is the right reasons? Like, I think there's an argument to be made, right? But
yeah,
it's just wild. It's crazy to me. These stories that I've unfortunately been able to hear is like... brutal.
So for anybody listening who has never seen Love is Blind, it's essentially a dating show where you fall in love without seeing the person in these like rooms they call pods, and you get to know somebody sight unseen, and then you decide, hey, I want to marry you. And once you get engaged, that's when you finally see the person for the first time.
Yes. Then you go to Mexico or wherever for a getaway, and then you come back home and meet friends and family and stuff like that. But you nailed it. I might have to borrow your elevator pitch. Like yesterday, I was like, there's these things called pods, and you're kind of in them, and you're talking to each other through a wall, and there's speakers there. And I was just like, it's weird. It's just weird to like think about as something that actually happened.
So the first pattern is usually love bombing, making someone feel special. You're my favorite athlete. But in a lot of places, that sense of specialness is actually baked in. If you're on an elite travel team, or if you're in the top orchestra, or if you're in the elite group in your dance studio, then that sense of specialness is already there. But then the coach or the whoever can play off that sense of specialness. So the first thing is a sense of specialness, and then love bombing in these settings with kids often includes giving little gifts, and it can be something simple a candy bar, a little trinket, offering extra time in coaching, offering a ride home, texting, messaging one child separate from the other kids. You know, those are all ways to make kids feel special. The next pattern is if someone says, you know, I feel kind of uncomfortable about this. This doesn't seem right to me. Then usually the coach will be super charming and they'll say, well, this is how all great coaches coach their best athletes, or you don't need to be nervous, or I can help you make your dreams come true. Often the love bombing and the charm is enough, and the coach doesn't need to resort to any other pattern because they've entangled the person already. But if someone pushes back, then the coach will start to bully and they'll say, you know, you need me to succeed, and without me, you won't be anything. And they'll kind of do the go ahead and leave, but then your life will be ruined. And then the next thing is, and I don't want to make it sound like these are steps because they're kind of all intertwined and happening at once, but they start separating the victim from their friends, from their family, from their support groups. They'll say things like, oh, well, that teammate's just jealous and she doesn't have what it takes and she's in a bad headspace, so don't hang out with her. They're separating the victim and isolating the victim because an isolated victim is much easier to abuse. The last thing is often they will trick their victims into lying. Once the coach knows that you'll kind of bend to their will and apologize for something that you didn't do, then they have the sense that they can get away with more and more.
So, you know Hitler?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Familiar. Yeah.
Oh, yes. I've heard of him. Yeah.
Okay. So he was a bad guy. And there's this guy named Gerald Gardner, who is called the father of Wicca. He's attributed as kind of not necessarily founding Wicca, but popularizing Wicca. And according to him, there was a story that he tells about how he and a group went off into the woods. And it's a long story. I will truncate it for you. That they did a spell to keep Hitler from invading England, I want to say. And then he didn't. It's called Operation Cone of Power.
Wow.
Yeah. And he actually wrote about it. Yeah, 1940. And according to Gerald Gardner, he and a bunch of witches went off into the woods in a town called Highcliffe-on-Sea in late summer. And they all danced naked under a full moon and then set some lanterns down in the direction of Hitler and said, you won't cross the sea. You will not come here. Yada, yada, yada. We don't actually know what they said. But they raised a cone of power and allegedly kept Hitler at bay. And that story is one of the stories that ended up inspiring the movie Bedknobs and Broomsticks.
Really? I feel like I need to watch that movie again.
You are going to see, if you haven't seen it since you were a kid, watching it with adult eyes, especially right now, that movie, there's an unexploded like warhead in the front yard of the mansion where they all live. Like she literally, like the last scene is like a whole Avengers Endgame thing where she gets on her broom and casts a spell over an entire museum of armor and they literally fight the Nazis. The actual swastika Nazis.
What?
That's what Bedknobs and Broomsticks is about, is Angela Lansbury is a witch that fights the Nazis.
I only remember taking the bed down into the ocean and meeting the cartoon fish. That's all I remember.
That's the whole reason she becomes a witch, because she wants to use her powers to fight Hitler like Operation Cone of Power. And all of that to say that when people feel powerless, they turn to magical thinking, witchcraft, whatever you want to call it. Different cultures have different names for it. I'm not trying to shy away from the word witchcraft. I'm just saying, like, in English, that's what we would call it. But all sorts of different cultures, you would call it all sorts of different things. But basically, when people feel powerless, they reach for magic and magical thinking. And in that tension between powerlessness and wanting to regain power, there is susceptibility to be preyed upon, because somebody can come in and say, hey, you know what? I've got power for you. I know how to get it. You want power? Let me sell you this piece of Moldavite.
No season of Life After MLM could be complete without at least a couple Scientology episodes. So of course, for the 16% of you that love the cult episodes, I have some Scientology clips for you. And I also want to say that Mr. F picked out one of these clips because his favorite episode of the whole entire year, why it isn't Sarah Rathman, I have no idea. But it was Chris Shelton and his time explaining what happened to him in the RPF, which, I mean, is absolutely terrifying and one of my favorite episodes as well. So good pick, Mr. F. But first, I want to just pay some respects. This morning, there was news that Mike Rinder had lost his battle to cancer. Mike Rinder was a guest on our show a couple years ago. He completely changed my life. He was an incredible friend and colleague within the cult space, and it is a very big loss, and he meant a lot to us over here at Life After MLM. Mike, I just want to say that you changed my life for the better. I hope you're resting in peace, and thank you for everything. Scientology absolutely 100% destroys lives before, during, and after your time there. And Mike was evidence of that. And his fight, not only with cancer, but against the Church of Scientology, were fought hard and fierce. And we're going to miss you. And we thank you for everything that you've done in this movement. And we will continue to carry on the torch in your memory. Enjoy these clips.
This particular protest was for a different purpose. And I think it went well. I'm still processing it, to be honest, in my brain, because it was the first time that I'd been back to the Church of Scientology London since I worked there. And I went inside. I had a cake for L. Ron Hubbard. So I walked in to the reception. And I said, hi, I've got a cake for L. Ron Hubbard. Happy birthday, March 13th. And I was greeted with a, you need to get out. This is private property. You're not welcome here. And I was like, okay, yeah, well, I'm just delivering a cake, you know, this is for you guys. Happy birthday to L. Ron Hubbard. And then as I walked out of the door, the guy dropped the cake on the floor right in front of the door. Charlie, my old boss, who I haven't seen in 10 years, he used to be my best mate, stepped on the cake.
Take that. That's very like fifth grade. Like,
and we are the ones that are supposedly covertly hostile and, you know, passive aggressive.
Wow.
And the auditor asked if there was, you know, a bad deed, an overt, right? And the meter responded, and it was on my mind. And I was still very, very much a true believer in the meter and the process of Scientology. I was full on. So when the meter responded, I figured, well, I'm going to have to say this, and here we go. And I can't really, you know, go up the bridge and do all this auditing if I'm living a lie or sitting on a lie. So I need to confess, right? And this is all part of the Scientology indoctrination. So that's how they got it out of me. And it wasn't a struggle. I wanted to come clean.
Yeah, I was going to say, if the e-meter hadn't, maybe it would have taken a couple more sessions, but it would have come out eventually, you feel?
It probably would have. I had a guilty conscience and I felt bad about what I had done. So it probably was going to come out. I mean, it was literally the first opportunity for me to confess, and I did. So, you know, I wasn't much of a withholder yet. So what happened is I went to the RPF and I realized within a day or two of being there what a mistake this was, like what a tragic, horrible mistake I had made landing on the RPF, because this baby is, you're not done until you're done, and you're done when we say you're done. And that's why it took 3 years, right? I was ready to go after 3 days. I was like, get me the fuck out of here. But it was, nope, too late. You're in.
Do they even pretend to still be secretive about that to this day? Do you know? I'm just curious, because it seems like being secretive of it now would push people towards, yes, looking it up. Seems counterintuitive, but hopefully that's happening.
That's exactly right. I'm not sure how they spin that to their members now, because it's sort of a weird game.
Yeah, I think it's worth commenting that the reason for that secrecy and the origin of the secrecy was because the authorities were going after Hubbard,
right,
for underhanded, illegal, questionable activities. So he was constantly avoiding anyone knowing where he was. And that's kind of what was the start of that. And of course, you know, as Mark always points out, let's not forget Scientology is responsible for the largest infiltration of the US government in its history. Google Operation Snow White. If you want to see the sordid history of Scientology, it's all available on the internet now. But that's the origin of why the location was confidential.
And now you can just ask your phone, like, Surrey, navigate me to Scientology base in Gilman Hot Springs, California. And it's like, getting directions to Gilman Hot Springs. Like,
the best thing is if you just Google, you can just Google Int Base or Gold Base. Just go on the internet and say Gold Base. And it just shows up right on Google. And it's labeled on Google Gold Base. And
all it takes is one leak.
Yes, yeah, so somebody actually sent me a screenshot 2 days ago saying, oh, I was wondering if Gold Base, Imp Base, same thing, the Gilman Hot Springs 500-acre compound. I was wondering if it was getting rained on, so they took a little screenshot, and right in the middle said Gold Base.
On the web like, there you it go. Says Gold Base.
Oops.
Oh, that's great.
That's amazing.
Yeah, wow. It is funny.
Someone needs to like do that to the Petrolia location and just make it say Shelley.
Oh, yeah.
It does say that. It says, Shelley?
It says, where's Shelley?
On the house. Yes, it says, where's Shelley on her
Michelle,
address.
That's a fantastic segue. So
you're welcome.
And for the overwhelmingly 66% of you that love MLM episodes the most, you are in for a treat. We have some great clips. A lot of these were submitted as favorites, and there's a couple of my favorites in here as well. And then we're going to get into some Amway clips, because what kind of best of clip show of life after MLM would it be without gratuitous Amway clips? And here's the funniest thing, right? As I was organizing all these clips in order, I found it really hard. I had to give Amway their own section because I was like, religion, scam, fraud, cult, MLM, it checks all the boxes, right? I mean, come on.
Yeah, I just really got an interest in anti-MLM content because I had a really close friend in an MLM, which now I feel kind of relieved to be able to talk about, because for a while I'd be really vague. Oh, I have this friend and I'm really close to her and I've always been interested about what this is that she's gotten herself involved in. But recently she actually came on my channel and I interviewed her because 6 years later she is leaving the MLM.
Amazing.
She has decided to leave that in her past. And it was always this off-limits taboo topic that her and I never talked about. She was over here. She was in Plexus, super heavily involved. And I was over here making my anti-MLM videos. And we never discussed it. Like, we never even touched the topic because I didn't want it to sacrifice our friendship. So it was always a thought in the back of my head. Maybe she's watching my videos. Is she learning anything from them? And I've always said that when I create my videos, I look into the camera and I picture myself talking to her. And that's, I think, where my delivery comes from. I always try to lead with compassion, education, with a goal of awareness and not talking down on people who get involved with MLMs, because I know that they're not all bad people. I have this incredible friend who's in one currently, and she's the best person. So I always would picture her as I'm creating my videos. And so that was also a full circle moment of like, wow, 2 years later and here she is, you know, 2 years after I got involved with anti-MLM content and 6 years since she's been in Plexus, we finally merged together and we're able to have that conversation together about her experiences and things like that. So I don't know. That's a very long-winded response to your question, but
no,
that's kind of how I got involved with it. I was interested in MLMs because of her specifically, because you can imagine if you have a friend on social media that you're following, we went to high school together, we were on the dance team together, and I go off to college and then she goes off and does Plexus. What is Plexus? What are these trips you're going on? What is this free car, quotes, that you have? What's all this money you're making and all these recognition and awards? And, you know, I was just like, what is going on? Because we took two completely different paths. And so that's how I found out what an MLM was, what a compensation plan is, what an income disclosure statement is. I looked at their car bonus program document. So yeah, her involvement in the company was what opened my eyes to the industry as a whole. And I quickly learned that it's not all it's cracked up to be, because I know this person in real life and it's not like what's being portrayed here. So I felt like I had this information and it was, I don't know,
my duty or something to relay that to other people in a way that was informational and educational. So, yeah.
What else happened at that convention? Anything interesting aside from the convention stuff?
With the superstar director being there, everyone wanted her time, of course. You know, she was...
Of course.
Almighty knows everything about Scentsy. And of course, she's like this very beautiful blonde girl, you know, has her husband, her kids, and her life looks perfect on Instagram. And like, so everyone wants to be like her, you know, make all the money and Scentsy have a beautiful life, a perfect life. So it was just all the time they were like flooding around her. And there was just this one night I was in the hot tub and she decided to get in. Everyone was so excited. Oh, she's coming hot tubbing with us. And I'm like, great. Like, okay. So she gets in and then like 10 more people get in this hot tub and the water starts overflowing and they're just falling over her and they think it's like the best thing ever. Like they're in the hot tub with a celebrity. And I'm like, she's just a person from Midwest Ohio. Like she lives nowhere. Like she's not famous or anything. Like she's just a normal girl. But anything she said was like, everybody's eyes were just focused on her. And it was just, it felt very off-putting. And I remember there was a couple times I felt like I was being like scolded by her. If I was like having too much fun, then it was like, oh, you're not serious enough, you know, or, oh, you shouldn't be doing that here. And it's just like, but you guys are also all drunk because they were drinking every day. It was just, it was a lot to deal with her, because she would love bomb you as well.
Yeah.
I remember a specific thing she told me while I was there, because I rode down with some girl that I didn't even know, but she lived close to me and they're like, oh, she's coming. You could ride with her. She's a very nice girl. But I remember when we were leaving, she like, the superstar director pulled me aside like, you know, she's not as serious as you are. So like, I know she says these things, but just don't listen to her because her business goes nowhere. And if you just listen to us, like your business will go somewhere. And so it was like, I'm sure she's doing that to everybody, you know, she's very super nice to your face. And then she's talking about people behind their back. It just felt gross.
It's very manipulative. I don't know what it is about hot tubs and MLMs. It does weird things to people.
Your data is like gold to hackers. They're selling your passwords, bank details, and private messages. McAfee helps stop them. Secure VPN keeps your online activity private. AI-powered text scam detector spots phishing attempts instantly. And with award-winning antivirus, you get top-tier hacker protection. Plus, you'll get up to $2 million in identity theft coverage, all for just $39.99 for your first year. Visit McAfee.com. Cancel anytime. Terms apply.
I can say to my new Samsung Galaxy S25 Ultra, hey, find a keto-friendly restaurant nearby and text it to Beth and Steve. And it does, without me lifting a finger, so I can get in more squats anywhere I can. 1, 2, 3.
Will that be cash or credit?
Credit. 4.
Galaxy S25 Ultra, the AI companion that does the heavy lifting so you can do you. Get yours at Samsung.com. Compatible with select apps requires Google Gemini account. Results may vary based on input. Check responses for accuracy.
My upline put the club in his name, and then my husband signed my lease.
And how long was your lease for?
Like 3 years. So then the rest of the bill, lights, water, sewer, all of that, of course, was in mine. But, you know, Herbalife wants to see the lease. So it had my husband's name on it, which, you know, they can't connect that. Mm-mm. And then my upline had his name on the Herbalife.
Okay.
So I, in turn, was a, quote, operator in the club. And what that simply means is that when you document, which means getting volume points, because every shake and every tea that is sold has to be documented that you get points. You know, a shake is 5 points and this and this. So whenever you came into the club and you put your information in, we would document the volume that you purchased. And it just meant that I could document that volume. So then I was getting the volume instead of my upline.
Okay, for selling the product parceled out into drinks instead of like a tub.
Exactly.
Oh, all right. See, I thought there was some sort of like, you have to be a member to shop because there's a point thing. But can anybody off the street like me just walk in and buy a tea and walk out without signing up for anything?
So each person, when they come in, there's like a sign-in tablet. And so you enter your first, last name, email, and phone number. And that is an FTC requirement that we have to document every single thing that's sold in the club. So they can keep track of whether distributors are the main person coming in or customers. That's how they do that 80% rule.
There's a way around that too.
Of course there is.
If you come in my club and you're a distributor, I'm definitely not putting it under you because then I don't get volume for it.
And the system tells you when it is a distributor.
So do you have ghost accounts that are like, this is the guest, the ghost guest?
Absolutely. My husband, my sister, my best friend. Man, she bought a lot of shakes.
Wow.
She was in there twice a day, man.
She loves those shakes. Just loves them.
I mean, I always knew, obviously the light bulb went off at that Stampin' Up! Convention. Like I knew what the point of an MLM was. I knew it was recruiting. I knew it was, yeah, you're going to make some sales, but I knew it was downline, downline, downline. I knew that. Like I said, my CPA was like, you're done. Like, this is screwing up your tech. Because Epiphany, I actually was making money, I think. Maybe. I'm not sure.
I love that. I actually was making money, I think. Maybe. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Quote, Robin.
Right, that's going to be the tagline for this one. I think I made money. I did make money, I think. Well, I don't know. If I got a cost analysis sheet out, I might not have. So, which Mark was loving because at that point it was deducting from our taxes and we took a hit. My CPA was about to kill me. And I said, I promise I'll never do this again. And I haven't. And now I won't. And I've learned other ways to fill that dopamine crazy with like fun and healthy things that don't involve anyone but me. Nothing in my body. Some things are actually beneficial to others.
It's just bots. And it gets them in the algorithm. And then they get the new customers that are seeing this, like, oh, what's this new shiny thing? Mm-hmm. And people that aren't getting in the FYP don't have anybody coming through.
Wow. Manipulation of the algorithm.
Yeah.
Jeez. I mean, I'm not surprised, but it is very interesting to hear that. And I think all of us listening are going to be paying a lot more attention when we see lives with a lot of people.
Yeah.
And just checking it out and seeing how many of them are bots and checking all of that out. That's very interesting.
Oh, yeah. Well, like I've learned, like I'll go on their thing and you maybe the first five top commenters are people. And then you'll start seeing like random weird names and you can go check out their profiles. I have much time on this stuff still. Apparently, I'm still obsessed with. I love watching the reveal still. Like today they got hoops. I hate them all. I think they're all awful. I don't even wear earrings. But here I am watching. But I'm noticing things like that. And I'm also counting inventory and trade trays and things like that to remind myself. I'll be like, oh, man, she's really doing good. And then I'm like, hold on. And then I'm like, okay, this is how much is sitting on her shelves. This is how much is sitting on her tray. Look at all those rows and rows of bracelets they have behind them. They had to pay for every one of those. I'm doing the math now instead of being like, this looks like so much fun. I'm like, she's lost so much money.
And then they outline your end of the partnership, which I don't know if you've talked to other people from this LOA. They have their 10 steps. So these are your 10 steps that you have to do. And these are your steps in the partnership. Some of it is prospecting. Some of it is customers. Some of it is buying from yourself, reading, listening to their voicemail system, listening to their audios, being accountable, being on the LOA membership.
That's the real vested interest right there.
Buying your dittos on the first of the month.
Yeah. Dittos. Yeah.
Yeah.
Having
a
regular.
That's part of it.
I guess a regular order.
Regular monthly order, they call it.
Well, what was your guys' regular monthly order? I'm always interested to see what people would throw on that auto ship order.
Typically between $1,200 and $1,800 a month is what our regular monthly order was, just for products that we were buying.
And what were you getting?
That was a lot of stuff.
We bought way too many vitamins.
We weren't stockpiling.
Right, we were actually using it. Like, you know, a lot of the food things.
RP was
bright yellow.
Yeah. We betcha.
Just vitamin P.
Yeah. Yeah. Straight up.
And I mean, thankfully, we were in a financial position that we could afford that. Like, it seems ridiculous now. And I think slowly we started cutting back, like towards the end when we were about to leave.
But there's lots of other stuff, like our shampoo, our soap, our dishwasher tabs, our anything in your house, basically, that's a consumable. They had kind of a version of it. And you were encouraged, like, or do you even take your business seriously if you're not 100%
personally
using your own product?
Yeah. Right.
You can't have a negative product if your upline comes to your house to do a meeting and they see negative product soap. And it's too bad because a lot of their products were overpriced and not super healthy.
This is 26. He was four, like newly 4 years old when I had gotten involved. So very young. And he doesn't remember anything, thankfully. But they will use your kids against you. Oh, yeah, you're a mom. Like, you don't love your child if you're not building your business. Like, are you really a good parent if you're not out there talking? What about all the other single moms who are out there? What about the other DV survivors? Like, they really exploited my story a little bit because during this time as well, when they had coached me back in this relationship, I'd gotten pregnant with my second child. And they would say, oh, she's pregnant. What's your excuse? I'm like, dude, you can't. Like, that's not okay. There's kind of two sides of it. They would say, you already have children. Do it for your children. And if people didn't have children, wait until you go to this pin level and then have children. Like the quote, people who, like the club owner and his wife, they waited until they were diamond to have their child. There's no way they were able to calculate and determine that. I do not believe that for one second. But then they're like the entire line of sponsorship. All the like top ladies were pregnant during this time. My platinum was pregnant. My emerald's wife was pregnant. The diamond was pregnant. Like half of our organization was pregnant at the time. And they would be excited about it because they felt in a way that it would tie you in. If you got married and had a child in the business, you were more likely to stay. Not only that, if you get married in the business, that's more PV for them because then your PV amount bumps up and then they're driven to these other qualifications quicker. So it was either great, you have kids or do not have kids.
At Emerald, that's when it really starts. And that's when more money kicks in from the tool system. Typically, that also includes meeting money, bonuses for people that attend meetings. All of that starts becoming more lucrative at Emerald. And I would say at Emerald, that's when most people have either replaced their job income or are very close to it, depending on the size of their organizations. So Emerald is where most people see that.
How long did it take you and your husband to hit Emerald?
Gosh, I'm trying to remember the exact year, but it took us about 6 years, 7 years to get to that point.
I mean, that's pretty substantial, 6 or 7 years. Most people don't last an MLM 6 or 7 years. So you're not just pushing past like, I don't know if this works for us. Like you're really sticking it out. You're getting to that 6, 7 year mark and you're hitting Emerald, which is the rank right below Diamond, where it starts to feel really real.
But you also have to remember that by that point, we had no friends outside the business. Our whole life was wrapped up in the next meeting and, you know, what's the new products and what do we need to do for our team and what do we need to do for our upline? And we had meetings pretty much every day of the week by that point. And it's like it takes over. And so even though it seemed like a long time and how did you stick in, everything we knew was wrapped up in it. At that point, we couldn't see the opportunity to walk away because too much of us was invested.
All right, Darren, take it away.
I call this scam poetry. Like many things on the scam speaker circuit, it is style and no substance. Predators examine greed, then work it. Install lies you love in abundance. Divide, deride, but also unite. Have you subscribed as a fan? Get you high on timelines, promising profits pie in the sky. Turn the mind to sand, adding urgent pressure of time, because God wants you to be rich. Economy's taking a hit. Stick it to the man, quit your job, stop saying you can't, and start saying you can. Here's more bullshit mixed with elements of truth and rhetoric. You a sheep? Most people are asleep, keeping their J-O-B just over broke gig going, even though they're feeling low, probing their existential loathing of a litany of woes, timidly coping via false dignity while fiscally in captivity, void of desire, forever employed by those definitely destined to bestow thee with no retirement because your 401k will be toast. Do you see how they reel you in, I mean? I'll show you the way. Follow me. I know what you need. Money, purpose, belief. Spread the word. Shed the skin of the former you you incurred. Preach, teach, rinse, repeat. Grind, sweat, bleed, succeed. Oh, and independent thought is actually bad, so it's banned all day, always. Okay? Stinking thinking ain't about winning. Let's take a breath. Impressed? Cool. Ready to rewrite the rules? Nice. Believe you're destined for success? You're so wise. By the way, saying yes, 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 raising your hand, participating, manifesting, and even praying increases susceptibility to those with low integrity. Every sneaky psychological trick, script, tactic, or opinion presented as fact will finally fit your narrative. Barely time to think when they speak so quick. Oh, and forget about the terrible debt from joining so-called crazy schemes and courses, because positivity supports us with status endorsements, actualization through the laws of attracting forces, better relationships, longer marriages, and fewer never mind. The brain might not be there yet, but with all objections met, killed dead, the heart is thumping, pumping, excited, way ahead. Scum stage guru wisdom has been imparted. So you drop your guard and then place bets to get started on MLM, Ponzi, pyramid, property, whatever. Race into the back of the room, groomed for several grand, like a dog on command, filled up and overflowing with so-called truth. The best investment and the future nest egg starts with yourself. We take cash, credit card, but no checks. So, who's next?
Amazing. I loved that.
So as we say goodbye to season 4 and welcome in season 5, I just want to say thank you to you guys again. I know I thank you all the time and it probably gets super, super annoying. You can just zoom past this with like 3 or 4 times speed. It's totally fine. You guys are incredible. You make my life incredible. Everything about this show is just so great. And you guys are so great. And I love my job. I love everything about this show. I love the people that it's brought to me. I love the acquaintances and the friends that I've made. That was one of the cool things. I asked you guys, like, what was your favorite part of this season? And a lot of you were like, I made a friend in you because we talk and we get to know each other. And to me, it is just so unbelievably rewarding to have a show that like makes me feel so good and makes you guys feel so good. And I just feel like I'm putting a lot of good out into the world. And, you know, that's what it's all about. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm going to start saving clips. If you guys reach out and say, oh my God, that was the best episode, I'm just going to go into it then and save that clip so that I can have this episode ready earlier at the end of the year as opposed to the beginning of the next year. I just didn't manage my time well because I just spent the last week of the year hanging out with Mr. F and like not working, and I needed it. And I know that you guys don't care if there's an episode that's late or if we got to bump something. We're great. You guys are awesome. We're awesome. We're great. Everything's great. I cannot wait for 2025. Season 5 is going to be amazing. Again, call to action. If anything in this clip show sparked any interest and you're like, it's time to tell my story, hit me up. Let's tell your story. Let's make the experience so memorable that people leave me messages saying that your episode was the one that changed their life and was the best episode of the whole year. And then you can hear your clip in the season 5 Best of Clip Show. Until then, see you next time. Bye. Thank you so much for listening to Life After MLM. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share. And follow us on social media at Life After MLM Podcast or visit our website at lifeaftermlmpod.com. And don't forget to check out our Patreon for exclusive content and join the community on Discord. You can find all of the links to follow in our show notes. Life After MLM is produced by Roberta Blevins. Audio editing is done by the lovely Kayla Craven. Video editing by the indescribable RK Gold. And Michelle Carpenter is our triple emerald princess of robots. If you have a story about a cult, fraud, scam, or MLM and want to be on the show, please hit us up. We would love to help you tell your story and start your healing journey in life after MLM. See you next time, Hunts.